Anybody have Lamrim book?
Alai. Tang kam sia. Alai alai. Ka lai ka.
Sinya ko.
Sinya. Ah, ye volume 3.
Sinya ka to de chuba. Mikyan so ase.
How to see like that? You know, make big one. Where's volume 3? I assume this one. Oh, okay.
Make them talk, sister.
Make them meet.
Make them talk, sister. She needs to make them talk, sister.
Make them. Where do you put your book? Oh, iBook, right?
Something, you want to chop the chocolate, you can chop it. 听工具洗了的记忆就把就把讲了
就忘了就忘了
就忘了
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 就忘了就忘了就忘了就忘了就忘了就忘了就忘了就忘了就忘了就忘了就忘了就忘了就忘了
有梦中的公寓有啊
就把它丢忘了
丢忘了
丢忘了三级过明天起那里结果就不远公寓了三级过明天起过天生一段
응도다나가만히시작이너무장세
고문대화를장소스타디워드그냥마오디다대긴지자고또탐구하디워봐
어네
대긴지자고또탐산디워드디너로
응
마바믹댄소춘이세시문도샘칸라지미시스明天早上是，这大概谈不拢。
谈了。
不会，我都先看了这边写，明天早上那结果他们没说对面是，过两天早上是。
有多少？아니라마나어디이기
페는누가클거면누가그라마나도라멘다때마다서도하고이제강바가랑도강되나라멘다때마다책념도래응신의도믿는소도칸데소고래서이도와응문도스생강라진비시스
응
믿는소나스지구당영어소준비고내년직자로자라스양양따신디차만수네스유도차올라공수쇼스양나라멘다깨바스최대전삼신다영어차도죽바라밑엔소도스밑대는지구당영어소
넘버만
미차와산지모이넘버지도차와라보스
이시 Okay, in the meditative serenity section of the Lamrim Chenmo, there's a section which says this. Yeah. When you seek your object of meditation, the basis upon which you first keep your attention, look for an excellent painting or sculpture of the teacher's body and view it again and again. Remembering its features, firmly familiarize yourself with the mental appearance of the object.Or seek your object of meditation by reflecting upon the meaning of the eloquent descriptions of the Buddha's form, which you have heard from your guru, and make this image appear in your mind. Furthermore, do not let the object of meditation have the aspect of a painting or sculpture. Rather, learn to have it appear in your mind with the aspect of an actual Buddha.
ただ양양다시뒤차마손에일어차와서시또바탕은나가뒤부터아까서는양양다다뒤져라근데차마다시뒤차마손에서도가는돈다니다꼭발랐나면나와시다돈다아니수이외도차와시니뭐뭐하시어디숨겨
So it says here you remember youFirst, you find, you seek your object of meditation. When you seek your object of meditation, the basis upon which you first keep your attention. Yeah? So in the case, if it is a, if you are trying to focus on Buddha, then you, either you're looking at a painting or a sculpture, no? Then you look at it over and over again. Then by remembering its features, you know, then you have to firmly familiarize yourself with the mental
appearance of the object, you know. So you try to recreate, you know, the, you try to create an appearance of the object that you have chosen to focus on, yeah. And this mental appearance, you know, is an appearance to conceptual consciousness, isn't it? So here, when you're trying to meditate, you know, let's say, you know, the image of Buddha, you, what are you focusing? You are holding on to what as the object, the image, yeah, that is appearing, yeah, as a Buddha, right? You're holding then, holding on to that image, and then you meditate on that, yeah. So you have to understand that when we say we meditate, you know, meditation is an activity of the mental consciousness. It is done with the mental consciousness. It's not done with the sense consciousness. Yeah. And at the beginning, we have to meditate on an image, on an appearance of the object that you're focusing on. So at the beginning, it involves, it has to be done conceptually, you know, with a conceptual consciousness. Yeah. Then slowly, then that conceptual consciousness can be transformed into the entity of a direct perceiver. Yeah. So one starts with a conceptual understanding. One meditates on with the thought, with the conceptual thought, focusing on the appearance of the object they have chosen. Then slowly there will come a time when it becomes, you directly perceive the object. Yeah. So conceptual thought, consciousness is important. This is if it's the mental consciousness. So meditation is done with the mental consciousness and initially with thought. Yeah. So in order to be able to do this, you first have to understand well what is the appearing object of a thought consciousness, isn't it? Right? So the text says, you know, you look, you remembering its features. You know, when you choose, let's say a representation of a Buddha, a Buddha image or drawing. You know, you choose it, you look at it. You know, through looking at it, you have to remember its features. Then, remembering its features, you firmly familiarize yourself with the mental appearance of the object. Yeah, okay. So we are talking about the way to meditate, and this involves meditation is done first with thought, yeah, conceptual consciousness. Yeah. So, without understanding how conceptual consciousness work, without understanding what a disappearing object and so forth, there's really no way to understand Lam Rim well. Yeah. There's no way to understand the stages of the path to enlightenment literature. Yeah. So in order to have a complete and correct understanding, a full complete correct understanding of the stages of the path of enlightenment, Lam Rim, one has to study all these various other teachings, yeah, such as what we are doing here. Because sometimes, you know, people may think that, oh, the Lam Rim is so easy, no? Very easy, but I can't understand what. I mean, so much easier than what we are doing here, no? But actually, if you start to look at the individual words and what they mean, no? Then one starts to realize that actually one doesn't know anything, no?
Okay, where to start?
There's no page number. It's Kindle. So everybody is recommended to have a device such as this. So next time we don't have to have paper, you know. It's under, it says here chapter 2. I'm not sure whether it's the same as the actual book or not. Preparing for Meditative Serenity. And under that it is, I can't remember where it is. Preparing for Meditative Serenity, yeah. Yeah. What? Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, maybe you can figure that out, yeah.
Anybody have a question than us? If good question than us.
Rinpoche, can you please clarify about the sevenfold division of consciousness, which we covered 2 days ago? The third one, subsequent cognizer, could you, because I think that subsequent cognizer can be both conceptual and non-conceptual consciousness, so it's not necessarily non-conceptual. So if it is a conceptual consciousness, then it includes that when you try to remember blue, after you saw blue, then the next moment, if you closed your eyes and you tried to remember seeing blue, then it comes out as a mental image of blue. So in that moment, when you realize blue, in the second moment, as a mental image, then would you say it becomes a permanent phenomenon? Because because in the next moment, it is then a mental image.
We have learned
subsequent cognizer.
That part I got then.
So then you have said subsequent cognizer is both a conceptual and non-conceptual. But if we think of subsequent cognizer in the conceptual sense, it means it becomes a generally characterized phenomenon. Yeah, like blue. In the first moment you saw blue, but the next moment conceptual mind. So therefore that subsequent cognizer, which is a conceptual consciousness, when it realizes that mental image in the head as blue, then that is a permanent phenomenon.
Talk about mental image, permanent impermanent.
Yeah.
Mental image is.
But in terms of a subsequent cognizer.
Your main question is the mental image is permanent or impermanent? That's your main question is this now.
Okay.
That's the final answer. Question. That's it. So the Kazu Shuga Nashir. Kazu. 똑바라면 나왔으나 똑바라 무번에 나왔으나 다 가서래 그다음 생일 차지해래 뜻은 차 니가 이기가 너가 나 똑바라 무번에 나왔으나
The appearance which is appearance as blue to the thought consciousness apprehending blue has two parts. One is a specifically characterized phenomenon. One is a generally characterized phenomenon.
어떻습니까? 분진 똑바테가 반드시래.
我们从开始，从开始，从开始，从开始，从开始，从开始，从开始，从开始，从开始，从开始，从开始，从开始，从开始，从开始，从开始，从开始，从开始，从开始，从开始，从开始，从开始，从开始，从开始，从开始，从开始，从开始，从开始，从开始，从开始，从开始，从开始，从开始，从开始，从开始，从开始，从开始，从开始，从开始，从开始，从开始，从开始，从开始，从开始，从开始，从开始，从开始，从开始，从开始，从开始，从开始，从开始，从开始，从开始，从开始，从开始，从开始，从开始，从开始，从开始，从开始，从开始，从开始，从开始，从开始，从开始，从开始，从开始，从开始，从开始，从开始，从开始，从开始，从开始，从开始，从开始，从开始，从开始，从开始，从开始，从开始，从开始，从开始，从开始，从开始，从开始，从开始，从开始，从开始，从开始，从开始，从开始，从开始，从开始，从开始，从 functioning thing is mutually inclusive with cause, effect, impermanent phenomenon, composed phenomenon, ultimate, true, specifically characterized phenomenon, and so forth, right? So they're mutually inclusive, yeah? Which means they have the same entity. They are one entity, but different isolates. So maybe now is the time to introduce talk a little bit about what's the meaning of being one entity and but different isolates.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're gonna talk a little bit about the meaning of being one entity but different isolates. Yeah. So you know the phenomena that are mutually inclusive with functioning thing, and they are all mutually. So all those phenomena are mutually inclusive with functioning thing. Yeah. So all of them are one entity. One entity but different isolates. Yeah. And then you remember, you know, collective engagers and eliminative engager. Conceptual consciousness, conceptual thought, the same, you know. Conceptual thought and terms, you know. No term, T-E-R-M, terms that we use. How do they engage their objects? They engage their object through elimination. Whereas direct perceivers engage their objects collectively, you know, engages in the object, you know, as a whole. Yeah. So, if you remember the divisions of object possessor, objects possessor, when divided, they are person, awareness, and expressive sound. Yeah? So the expressive sound is what we call, or the term here, la, term or expressive sound, or, yeah, or sound. Yeah, but terms are, I think, more accurate, maybe. Expressive sound. So the way in which conceptual thought engages in its object is the same with the way in which expressive sound engages its object. The term, so you know, product and impermanent phenomenon, they are one entity, same entity, but different isolate. Yeah? Okay, you just keep the word in mind, different isolate, the meaning is going to come, right? So these two are same entity, one entity, different isolate. Okay. So the term product, there's a term expressing product, isn't it? The term product. This term product eliminates non-product, isn't it? How does the term product engages in the meaning? It eliminates, yeah, the term product. What does the term product? It eliminates everything else that is not product, isn't it? Do you? So when the term product engages in its object, it does so through eliminating everything that is non-product. You understand? What is the opposite from non-product? Opposite from non-product is productive. It's like, isn't it? It's primary school maths, right? Minus, minus, plus. The conceptual thought apprehending product that is induced by the term product engages in product by eliminating non-product. So what it realizes is product. So, to the conceptual consciousness, apprehending product that is induced by the expression, the term product, to this conceptual consciousness apprehending product, product appears as product. And therefore, the opposite from non-product also appears. Opposite from non-product, I'm going to say. Opposite from non-product, I'm going to say. Non-product. But my mind will love. Opposite from non-product, yeah. So the way in which a term and or expresses form, the way in which a term and a conceptual consciousness engages its object is said to be the same. So the term, the sound, expressing product, right? Expresses product, and that which is also opposite from non-product, but it does not express that which it does not express opposite from non-impermanent phenomenon. So the term product can only express product. It cannot, the term product does not express impermanent phenomenon, isn't it? Does it or not? If you look at product and impermanent phenomenon, they are mutually inclusive, right? Whatever is one is necessarily the other, yeah. They're mutually inclusive, right? But never, but however, if you the term product can only express product. It refers to product. It does not express impermanent phenomenon, isn't it? So because the term product does not express impermanent phenomenon, it therefore also cannot express opposite from non-impermanent phenomenon. So on one basis there can be many isolates. So in, let's say take product as the basis, yeah. On one basis product, there are many isolates, no? So opposite from non impermanent phenomenon, opposite from non-ultimate truth, opposite from non-composed phenomena, and so on and so forth. Yeah. So all these isolates exist on one basis, product. Yeah. So, because the term opposite from non-product cannot express or refer to opposite from non-impermanent phenomenon, so therefore the isolates that exist on one basis, these two isolates are different. So on one basis of product, we say the product is mutually inclusive with impermanent phenomena, inclusive with general specifically characterized phenomena, and so have and so forth, isn't it? Yeah. Because on the basis of product, there exists the isolate of that which is basically opposite from non-impermanent phenomenon, yeah. Isn't it? Non-impermanent phenomenon, opposite from non-impermanent phenomenon, opposite from non-composed phenomenon, yeah. So, ani, doba, so so.
Doba, so so se. Mita mayin ba doba chane. Mita pa.
Mita pa.
Chapa mayin ba doba chane. Chapa se. Ko doba so so chane shakdoba. Japan doba thare se.
So, you know, on the one basis product is mutually inclusive with quite a lot of phenomena, isn't it? Yeah. So on the basis of product, there exists the isolate opposite from non-impermanent phenomenon, yeah, isn't it? Yeah. So because of that isolate, it is also referred to, it is an impermanent phenomenon. Because it is opposite from non-composed phenomenon. Opposite from non-composed phenomenon, therefore it is a composed phenomenon. Because the isolates are different, yeah. They're different from one another.
That is
So the term vase expresses vase. It also expresses that which is no, that which is also expresses opposite from non-vase. So the term through eliminating non-vase, it expresses vase through eliminating non-vase, basically. The term vase expresses opposite from non-vase. It expresses vase through eliminating non-vase. So the basis of imputation of vase is a flat base bulbous thing that performs the function of holding water, right? To this thing, the term vase is imputed, right? So this term, the vase, is expressing vase, and it's expressing expressing opposite from non-vase. Opposite from non-vase is vase. So the appearance as vase and the appearance as opposite from non-vase, these two appearances is the reason for us, is the reason then for the convention vase. It's the reason why the convention vase is used.
Now,
So the appearance as opposite from non-vast to a conceptual consciousness apprehending vast, this appearance has two parts here. One part is a vast, the specifically characterized vast. The other one is a meaning generality of vast, which is a permanent phenomenon here. In order the So in order what is the process of imputing the term vast to that which is flat base, the flat base bulbous thing that is capable of holding water? What is the process of imputation? It is through the appearance as opposite from non-vast. So the appearance as opposite from non-vast to a conceptual consciousness apprehending vast, this appearance as opposite from non-vast is the generality vast, I think. So the problem that we are facing is because we don't have time to go through there's this subject called collected topics, which is the very foundation for all this. In this you study established base, causes and effects, and the meaning of isolates and entities and one and different and generality and its instances, and so because without having the groundwork, here we are trying to take a little bit here, a little bit there, trying to put together and summarize, it's like, then it becomes a bit difficult, yeah.
So I don't know. So what to do?
So let's talk a little bit about the this generality and an instance generality and instance. So for example, vast. We say vast. Vast is a generality. Generality, yeah. There's this term generality. So, okay, vase is a generality, yeah. Okay, if we say golden vase is an instance of vase, right? Tiobo? An instance. So it's a specific, yeah, specific, it's a specific vase, right? Tiobo? This one can, Wow, fine. The first, haven't heard this for a long time.
Oh, toxin. Pati sebala, tak kisah mana sih. Bawa main bawa lupa nawa sana, bawa main bawa lupa sana, bawa main bawa lupa sana ya, cip, cip orang, bawa di cip mana sih, bawa main bawa lupa sana cip.
Just as vase is a generality, opposite from non-vase is also general. It's also a generality. Opposite from non-vase is a generality. Yeah. If it is an opposite, if it is opposite from non-vase, it's necessarily vase, right? If it is opposite from non-vase, it's necessarily vase, isn't it?
Yeah? No? Huh? What?
Opposite from non-vase is not is necessarily vase, isn't it?
Huh?
No.
Could be vase then? Horse. Tata labaina ane pumba mahi bale lopare beta.
So is horse opposite from non-vase?
You saying that?
Then it follows that opposite from non-horse will have to be vase, no? So if it is opposite, okay, specifically, is, yeah, the way to say is opposite from non-vase is necessarily vase. And it is pervaded by functioning thing, which means it is necessarily a functioning thing. The golden vase is instance of vase. So, yeah, vase is a generality. An instance, golden vase is an instance of. It's an instance. It's a specific. Yeah, generality and specific. So the term vase the term vase expresses opposite from non-vase. Opposite from non-vase is a generality. And that makes vase a generality. So, opposite from non-vase pervades golden vase, copper vase. What other vase are you talking about? Whatever vase you want to put up.
Diamond vase.
Okay, opposite from non-vase pervades golden vase, copper vase, glass vase, and what have you. Yeah. So likewise, the appearance as opposite from non-vase, you know, engages, you know, in all these as well. Yeah. So on every single instance of vase, on every specific vase, opposite from non-vase exists, appearance as opposite from non-vase also exists. It pervades. On all instances of vase, on every specific vase, the vase generality, right? That which is opposite from non-vase and appearance as opposite from non-vase pervades every instance.
Okay.
Tio, otherwise you cannot tell all these vases as vase, right? So when you first see a golden flat base bulbous thing, okay, imagine you see a flat golden flat base bulbous thing that seem to be able to hold water, you know, but you have no idea what it is. Then you see me like this. Then your good friend tell you, dear, vase lah. So you hear the word vase, it induces in you a thought apprehending that golden bulbous flat base thing capable of holding water as vase. Tio. Tio.
I'm not sure whether they were or not.
Because there's another meaning of teo, right? The teo, yeah. That one is kana, right? Kana, right? So when you are told that, you first see a golden flat base bulbous thing, you ask someone, what is this? You are told, this is a vase, yeah. So how does the imputation vase happens to that golden flat base bulbous thing? It is true appearance as opposite from non-vase. Through the object vase generality, with vase generality as object, then you impute vase onto that golden, what is it? Golden flat base bulbous thing.
So 레레 통제를 다질 거야. 난 만찬 나야. 다 상기 또 도도가나 이 분발을 쓰는 농망 얘기시다.
Okay, oh, okay, oh. Then later on, you see a copper flat base bulbous thing. Immediately upon seeing the copper bulbous flat base thing, the thought thinking, oh, this is a vase, arises automatically, right? There's nobody has to tell you this is a vase. Right? You cannot be like every single bulbous thing you see, and then somebody has to tell you, oh, this is a vase, this is a vase, this is a vase. Borai. Huh? Hopefully not. So you have to think, why is it that when you, after you've been introduced to vase, that, you know, that the golden flat-based bulbous thing is a vase, then subsequently when you see a copper flat-based bulbous thing, why is it that you just innately you know, oh, that's a vase? Why? Why is it? There's too many negative until I positive.
Okay.
I spent many days thinking about this, okay? That's why my brain is filled with this now. What's that? So the term pot, you know, expresses pot, but it also expresses opposite from non-pot. Opposite from non-pot is a vast generality. It refers, in simple English, is the general concept vase, we say, the general concept vase, right? But I mean, to be specific, is vase generality. This vase generality exists on the corpus bulbous thing, yeah, isn't it? Or the copper vase, right, isn't it? Therefore, when you see the corpus flat-based bulbous thing, you are able to immediately conceive of it as a vase. So the term pot eliminates non-pot and expresses opposite from non-pot. The term pot eliminates non-pot. When you say pot, you're not saying something else, right? So the term pot eliminates everything that is non-pot. But what is essentially is expressing is opposite from non-pot, isn't it?
pumbe chi chukudwa, tatata, pumba sesubi dhatigi, pumbe chi, pumba mayimba lopati chukudwa.
So the term pot expresses the vast generality, the general concept vast, right? I mean simple English.
Pumba chi.
Okay, la, vast and pot the same, la, okay? Independence is pumba, okay? Well, vast, your action vast, what vast are the words that vast, that bomba, okay? So, okay, the term vast expresses vast generality. And what is vast generality? Opposite from non-vast, right?
Oh, this is not bomba mayin ba lokpa di. Bomba chi. Bomba mayin ba lokpa di ni. Chata tamse yu bindu chapse yu.
Bumbaji, Bumayimba Loba. Tang?
Bumayimba Loba Ti.
So, this vast generality, opposite from, what is vast generality? Opposite from non vast, right? This opposite from non vast pervades all instances of vast.
Today, the serpent,
So when we impute the, when we give the name vase to a golden bulbous flat base thing, that term is eliminating non-vast, and it is expressing opposite from non-vast. When we give the name vast to a golden flat-based bubble sting, when you see a golden flat-based bubble sting, when we give the name vast, the term eliminates everything that is not vast, right? And what it is expressing is opposite from non-vast. Opposite from non-vase exists on the copper
vase.
Opposite from non-vase, the vase generality, exists on a copper vase, isn't it? Copper vase is an instance of vase, right? So the vase generality, opposite from non-vase, exists on copper vase. So when you see this copper flat-based bulbous thing, immediately you know you don't have to think, yeah? You immediately will recognize that's vase. You will say that it's vase. You will conceive of it as vase, okay?
So anyway,
this is a complicated topic, because also this is one area whereby the non-Buddhist philosophers would disagree with the Buddhist presentation. Yeah, for us, sounds or terms and conceptual consciousness are eliminative engages. Whereas for some of these non-Buddhist philosophical traditions, they assert them to be collective engages. Anyway, complicated.
Oh,
So anyway, according to Buddhist epistemology, or basically to the text on valid cognition, yeah, according to the Buddhist presentation, yeah, what is it that allows us, you know, to understand, you know, when you know, after you know something, you know, when you see something similar, what is it that allows you to understand that, oh, this is a vase, for example? Yeah, it's because of the generality, yeah, the generality existing on all instances of it, of the object, yeah. You getting something from this? Making a little bit more sense than before? The factor of opposite from non-pot existing on the golden, what am I saying, pot again? Maybe Harry Potter is coming. Some imprint, I think. Okay, the vase or pot, any pot, it doesn't matter, you know, it doesn't matter whether it's pot or akau or amiao or whatever, you know. The factor of opposite from non vase on a golden vase, and the factor of opposite from non vase on a copper vase, when these two appear to the conceptual consciousness, these two appear as if they were the same. You see two vase, right? How does the appearance as opposite from non-vase appear to a conceptual consciousness apprehending vase? This appearance as opposite from non-vase appears as if it was the actual vase. So, to a conceptual consciousness apprehending vase, there is the appearance as opposite from non-vase. This appearance as opposite from non-vase is not vase, yeah? But it appears as if it was a vase. It was the actual vase. First, you have to be clear. So you have to be clear as this. The appearance as opposite from non-vase to a conceptual consciousness apprehending vase. This appearance as opposite from non-vase in the first place is not a functioning thing. It's a permanent phenomenon. You must get that right first. Yeah. So the appearance as opposite from non-vas to a conceptual consciousness apprehending vas is necessarily a permanent phenomenon, yeah? Okay? Appearance as opposite from non-vas. So the appearance to a conceptual consciousness apprehending vas, the appearance as opposite from non-vas is permanent because it is an imputed factor. But whatever is an appearance as whatever is an appearance, the pumjin topa na nangwa ina, pumjin topa ni nangwa. Okay. But whatever is appearance as opposite of non-vas to a conceptual consciousness apprehending is not necessarily permanent. So right from the beginning, I said that to a conceptual consciousness apprehending vas, there is the appearance as opposite from non-vas, right? This appearance as opposite from non-vas has two parts, yeah. One is generally characterized, one is specifically characterized, yeah. That means impermanent and permanent, basically. So what is appearance as opposite from non-vas? What is an appearance as opposite from non-vas and a specifically characterized phenomenon? So what is appearance as opposite from non-vas and a specifically characterized phenomenon opposite from non-vas, which is vasna basically. Can you find something that is both an appearance as opposite from non-vas but is a impermanent phenomenon or specifically characterized phenomenon? There is something. It is opposite from vas,
which is vas actually.
Okay. There is also an imputed factor. So what is something that is an appearance as opposite from non-vas and a generally characterized phenomenon? It is meaning generality of vas. Vas meaning generality. How does vas appear to a conceptual consciousness apprehending vas? How does vas appear to a conceptual consciousness apprehending vas? The meaning generality of vas appears as one, mixed with vas. This is the way in which vas appears to a conceptual consciousness apprehending it. When you think of vas, yeah. So to a conceptual consciousness apprehending vas, the appearance as opposite from non-vas appears as vas. So to a conceptual consciousness apprehending vast, the appearance as non-vast appears as the vast, actual vast. And this is one of the reasons why we say a conceptual consciousness is a mistaken consciousness. Why is a conceptual consciousness apprehending vast a mistaken consciousness? Because to a conceptual consciousness apprehending vast, there is the appearance as opposite from non-vast. This appearance as opposite from non-vast is not the actual vast. It's not the specifically characterized vast, yeah? It's not the actual vast, but it appears as the actual vast. And therefore, because of this reason, we say that conceptual consciousnesses are mistaken. Although to a conceptual consciousness apprehending vast, the appearance as opposite from non-vast appears as the actual vast, but the conceptual consciousness apprehending vast does not believe that the appearance as non-vast, the appearance as opposite from non-vast is the vast. It doesn't believe, although it appears that way, but you don't believe, yeah? You know that's not the actual vast, yeah? Tewo, you think of something now? Okay, there are two things to note, yeah. To a conceptual consciousness apprehending vast, there is the appearance as opposite from non-vast. This appearance as opposite from non-vast appears as if it was the actual vast. For this reason, we say that it is mistaken. But does the conceptual consciousness apprehending vast believe that this appearance as opposite from non-vast is the actual vast? No. Right? You don't believe that the mental image of your mother is your mother, right? What does the conceptual consciousness apprehending vast apprehend? Vast, right? One does, you know, a conceptual consciousness apprehending vast does not apprehend vast generality. It apprehends vast. It realizes vast, yeah. So what is posited to be the appearing object of a conceptual consciousness apprehending vast? It is the meaning generality of vast, or we say, you know, simple English, mental image of vast, but you know, specifically the meaning generality of vast, right? Which is the appearance as opposite from non-vast. So, you know, remember what is posited to be the object of engagement object or the mode of apprehension and determine object for conceptual consciousness apprehending vast. It is just vast. Because what this conceptual consciousness apprehending vast is getting at is vast. It's just involved with vast, getting at vast, right? How does the conceptual consciousness apprehending vast apprehends vast? It apprehends vast by way of the appearance of as opposite from non-vast appearing. In order for conceptual consciousness apprehending vast to get at vast, it has to get at vast by way of the appearing of the appearance as opposite from non-vast to it. Luckily, I'm a Gemini. Occupational hazard. Some brain damage is happening.
What? Brain damage?
Hopefully not permanent.
Normally brain doesn't function. The scientists say we have so many brain cells in our brain. Yeah?
Not used yet.
Never used. No? From 100%, how many? How many percent of the cell use?
No, a few percent only, right? It's not even 10, right? Few percent only, right? Huh? 97% use or not use? If it's 97% use, then it's jia lao. There's really no hope. Luckily, it's the other way around.
Huh? 97 not use. 8, 9, only 3. So now we are using maybe 95.
Okay.
I don't know.
So how does a conceptual consciousness apprehending vast, how does it apprehend the vast basically? Yeah? Anyway, some of these things is in the notes. Yeah. How does it apprehend the vast? It can only apprehend vast by way of the day was a morning call, today's what call? Okay, how does the conceptual consciousness apprehending vast, how does it apprehend vast? What is the way of apprehending through? It apprehends vast by way of the appearing of the appearance as opposite from non-vast.
Okay.
So you have to, this is something you have to understand, you know. Conceptual consciousness apprehending vast can only get at vast by way of the appearing of the appearing of appearance as opposite from non-vas. Yeah, so to a conceptual consciousness apprehending vas, the vas appears to a conceptual consciousness apprehending vas. How does it appear? It appears as mixed one with appearance as opposite from non-vas. Okay. To a conceptual consciousness apprehending vas, vas appears. How does vas appear? Vas appears as mixed one with the appearance as opposite from non-vas. But to that conceptual consciousness apprehending vas, the appearance as non appearance as opposite from non-vas appears as well, yeah? Yeah? Okay? And it's two different things, you know. You got it, you know? To a conceptual consciousness apprehending vas. Vas appears. How does it appear? It appears as mixed, as if it is one or the same with the appearance as opposite from non-vas. That's one. To the same consciousness, the appearance as opposite from non-vas appears. How does this appear? The appearance as opposite from non-vas appears as if it was vas, the actual vas. So it's two things, yeah? So, to a conceptual consciousness apprehending vas, there is the appearance as opposite from non-vas, yeah. So the conceptual consciousness apprehending vas is a mistaken consciousness. Because to this conceptual consciousness apprehending vas, the appearance as opposite from non-vas appears as vas to the conceptual consciousness apprehending it. Therefore, it's mistaken. Likewise, similarly, when we talk about I consciousness, which apprehends a reflection of your face in the mirror as your face. To the I consciousness looking at your own reflection, that reflection of your face in the mirror appears as if it was your face, right? So you put yourself in front of a mirror. So your reflection of your body, of your whole body, or your face appears on the mirror. That reflection on the mirror is not the reflection of your face on the mirror is not your face, isn't it? But it appears as your face, isn't it? So if you look at yourself in the mirror, by depending on that what is reflected on the mirror, you know, there is this reflection, yeah. You see your body, yeah. You realize your body, isn't it? Or your face, whatever is appearing, right? Right? But depending on that appearance, you realize your body, yeah. Your face or whatever is appearing. Deal. So when your eye consciousness seeing a reflection of your face in the mirror, what is appearing to the eye consciousness? This reflection of yourself, yeah? As the reflection of you as you. It looks as you, as if you were there in the mirror, right? But your eye you don't conceive. You don't think that that's you, right? You don't believe, right? You don't apprehend, oh, that's me. No. It appears to be you, but you don't believe, yeah? Hopefully. Hopefully again. Okay. Yeah, so although it appears as you, but you don't normally apprehend or believe that that's me there, you know. Right? Devo.
Okay. I don't know. There's so many, huh? Yeah, last question now. Yeah.
King Roger, I want to understand whether my concept of difference between the direct perceiver and the conceptual consciousness is correct. So I'll try to give three examples of the object. One is the shadow, one is the star, and one is the 3D picture. Okay, we go one by one. A shadow, let's say we see a shadow of a bird, right?
Of a bird?
Yeah, a shadow of a bird. So when you see, if you see the black thing, it's considered a direct perceiver. But when you think the shadow is a bird, belong to a bird, it's a conception. No?
Yeah.
Because you can use the hand to make it a shadow of a bird, right?
Yes.
So correct, my understanding, a direct perceiver of the shadow is a black thing, the black image. But you think of it's a shadow of a bird, it's a conceptual, right? It may not be a bird. Am I right?
So what is appearing to your eye consciousness seeing the shadow is a black thing.
Yeah.
You're saying that, whether that's correct or not?
If you see a black thing, I can say it's directly perceiver.
Okay.
Right? But you think it's belong to a bird, it may not, right?
Or if you then have a thought thinking that maybe the shadow is a bird, or the shadow is a shadow of a bird.
The shadow of a bird, lah.
So you don't think that the shadow is a bird, you think that it's a shadow of a bird, lah.
You think it's, I think it's
different, yeah. And what about the 3D movie?
That's why I say a 3D picture.
Okay.
I say 3D picture. If you see directly, it's just a standard, a lot of a standard shape, right? You see the picture, but you...
It's flat, yeah? Okay.
It's flat, But, I mean, the picture, I don't know whether you see before the picture.
Yeah, yeah,
there's a lot of pattern, no? A pattern, but you must really see, really concentrate your mind and see inside, there's an image behind you.
You're talking about 3D, yeah?
3D picture.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
They have a standard, a lot of pattern. No?
Okay.
You just see only, you don't see anything one. No? You see a standard pattern.
Okay. Right?
So that standard pattern is the direct receiver that you see. But then when you use your mind to concentrate and see, there's a picture behind it.
So you're seeing, then if you see that picture behind it, are you seeing it with your eye or you're seeing it with your mind?
my eye, I mean you use the mind to concentrate, ah, okay. Focus. Ah.
Okay.
Right. So yeah. Is that can I say that one is a conceptual when you see the image behind it?
That's why I ask you what is it that sees that image if you concentrate? Your eyes, your eye consciousness or your mind, your conceptual consciousness?
Of course you also together with mind to concentrate it, right? You don't use your mind, you speak freely, it's actually the pattern only, no? I don't know, I was thinking that if you use your mind to see it, it's considered as a conceptual consciousness, is it? Is that a way? Or you just see directly, you don't need to think of it, you just see directly what you fall into your eyes, you see directly is the regular pattern is considered as direct perceiver, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you use your mind to concentrate to see, can you consider it as a conceptual consciousness?
No. So the examples you give are basically object seeing through direct perception, direct perceiving. Yeah. With sense consciousness, yeah. But one has to understand that there are different kinds of sense consciousnesses. There are some that are mistaken. Others are non-mistaken, but there are mistaken sense consciousnesses as well, yeah. So the way an object appears to a sense consciousness can vary. Sometimes the difference comes from the side of the object. Sometimes it comes from your vantage viewpoint, from where you're viewing the object, and sometimes it is comes from a problem within one's sensory powers. Yeah. So all sorts of stuff can appear to a sense consciousness. Yeah. But it doesn't mean that whatever appears to a sense consciousness is necessarily valid. Yeah. Not necessarily, you know, it's not necessarily correct, that means, or accurate. So the example is given in the text is like when one is very upset, right? Then whatever appears, whatever you look at with your eyes, you know, appears as very unpleasant, yeah. But it's not like that necessarily, isn't it? Yeah? So the unpleasant appearance is not coming from the side of the object, but rather due to the mind being disturbed. This is an example is given, yeah. So it affects, right, how you view things, yeah. So let's say if you something happens to your eyes, or let's say, you know, if you apply pressure, let's say on your eyeball, you know, you press or whatever. Now, so then, you know, doing that for a short moment, and suddenly, you know, you see two moons, you know.
Actually, there's only moon, but there's way to press your eye, you know. Each eye see each different moon. Oh, I don't know, but somewhere you press, you can see two moon.
So, you know, if you do something like that and you then see two moons, you know, I mean, you see two moons, but it's not valid, yeah, the appearance. It's not correct, it's not accurate, isn't it? There's only one moon, yeah. Hopefully, also. Yeah, so anyway, yeah, it's there, it will come, yeah, because there are...
So when you see two moons, is it considered as direct perceiver or is it conceptual assumption?
No. It is a wrong consciousness. It is not a valid mind, not a valid consciousness.
So you don't fall on the thing.
So if you posit the eye consciousness seeing two moons as valid, then on the outside you should be able to find two moons, yeah. Must. Right. Because you know, established by a valid cognizer, they were.
The conceptual consciousness apprehending a vase is a mistaken consciousness because it sees the appearance of the opposite of non-vase.
Appearance S.
It sees the appearance of the opposite
no,
of non-vase.
No, appearance S. This is very specific. It's not of appearance S opposite from non-vase.
As a generally characterized vase, not as a specifically characterized vase. It is a mistaken consciousness because it sees the appearance as opposite of non-vase as a generally characterized vase.
Specifically characterized.
But I thought the mistaken consciousness sees it as a generally characterized, not as a specifically characterized.
No, we're talking about appearing object. Yeah. Yes. We're talking about appearing.
Which
not
is a
apprehending.
Mistaken, which is a mistaken consciousness, seeing it as vase.
What do you mean by seeing it? Appearing?
When it hears the word vase, it sees vase. When it sees vase, it hears, it thinks of the meaning generality vase. So it's a mistaken consciousness. Is that mistaken consciousness seeing vase as a generally characterized vase rather than a specifically characterized vase? I took a notes from you saying that the appearance the appearance as
if,
opposite of non-vase is generally
if,
characterized, not specific.
If that consciousness apprehends it as a generally characterized vase, then how can we say that the consciousness apprehending vase apprehends vase?
Because it apprehends vase. I mean, incorrectly, it apprehends vase as a meaning generality.
No, it realizes vase correctly.
No, it doesn't, because it's a wrong consciousness.
No.
This is conceptual consciousness.
Yes.
It doesn't realize vase.
It realizes vase.
Okay, it realizes vase as a generally characterized phenomena.
So the conceptual consciousness apprehending vase is a mistaken consciousness. That is correct. But that is not to be mistaken with a wrong consciousness. A mistaken consciousness is not necessarily a wrong consciousness. No. Yeah. If it is a mistaken consciousness, it is not necessarily a wrong consciousness. Yeah. For example, the inferential cognizer apprehending vase is a mistaken consciousness, but it is not a wrong consciousness. Why is it not a wrong consciousness? Because it is a valid cognizer.
You
So there are consciousnesses that are mistaken with respect to their appearing object, but can realize their object. So if you remember the definition of a facility of a direct perceiver, which was given in the last notes, which is mutually inclusive with mistaken consciousness, right? So what is a mistaken consciousness? A mistaken consciousness is so called because it is mistaken with respect to something. What is it mistaken about? It is mistaken with regards to its appearing object, yeah. Okay. So anyway, it will become clearer. Okay. So for the in preparation for the next class on Tuesday, you please try to remember the sevenfold division of consciousness. Yeah, what they are and also their definitions. Yeah. So in the next session, we will try to clarify. You know. These seven consciousnesses again, and then you know, with the help of some illustrations. Yeah. Okie dokie. Okay, we can finish with the usual prayers after class, okay? So,